Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I got a lot of feedback for you. I have tons of feedback. I let it build up because I put out some posts about some different things that I thought were important, and I'm working on another one I think's important. But anyway, I had to get feedback in. I got like tons of this. So I'm going to specialize these. So this is from the post where I talked about, is it time to unionize tower climbers? And boy, did I get a lot of response on this. And not only on my blog, but in LinkedIn. And, you know, it's an interesting reaction. When you listen to it, or when you read it, I'm going to be honest with you, I read it all. When I read the reaction, it was interesting because a lot of people have a knee-jerk reaction to unions. And boy, I got to tell you, it seems like the auto workers union just gave the unions a bad name everywhere. I mean, when people think of the auto industry here in America, they blame the union. They don't really look at the industry and how in the U.S. we just made mistake after mistake. And for those of you that care, I know you don't want to hear this. The union didn't exactly help their reputation. They just got greedy. But, you know, management gave it to them. They thought they would be making cars the same way they always did and making a ton of money forever. But the Japanese, they actually followed a policy by an American. I think it was Deming. It was William Edwards Deming, who he died in 93. He actually had this, this management principle, I guess you'd say, where you constantly make upgrades slowly and over time. So you learn from your mistakes, basically, but you adjust slowly and over time. You make one adjustment, then the next, and the next, and the next. And the Japanese auto industry, this is where the auto industry and the electronics industry in Japan. Now listen, I'm 50, okay? So I remember when Japan was a big name in manufacturing, they were up and coming, and I remember when they overtook the American automakers in sales. No one ever thought it would happen, but Deming, an American, was a reason for all that because they followed his principles of making adjustments and making the vehicles, in this case, better and better over time. That's why Japan in the 80s, I guess the 70s too, they were a force to be reckoned with, but, you know, now that I'm older, you can see how other countries have overtaken it. You know, you had Taiwan, you had Japan, you have Korea, I know you have Hong Kong, they make quite a bit. Then you have Thailand, you have so many manufacturing companies. And right now, it comes down to where labor's cheap, like China. Right now, we look at China and we say, oh, look at everything coming out of China. But the reason I brought this up is because people don't look at the big picture when it comes to the auto industry. There was much more to it than just the union sucking the money out, which is how everyone looks at it. But I just want to point that out because it sets a standard up for what you're about to hear from some of the negative. Some of the pros are people that actually work in the union. They're very pro-union. They feel the union's treated them well. So a lot of this is perception, okay? When you look at this, people have opinions. They have very strong opinions. And I think most of the people that were anti-union, either they had a bad experience with unions, which, you know, that happened too. You know, you go in union jobs, and when you go into a new city, and Philadelphia and New York City are notorious for this, where they put their couple local guys in there, and the local guys don't exactly give the union a good reputation. Sometimes, you know, they're just there to babysit. And when people look at that, they just see a guy sitting around. It doesn't make the union look good, right? I know when I worked in Philly, like engineers weren't union, but laborers were. So we had to be careful about what tools we touched. And again, the union doesn't make themselves look good because they have a guy that just sits out there and makes sure that people do the right thing. It's silly when you're a tower climber, because when you're a tower climber, or at least me, when you're doing alignments, you could be on a laptop. You know, in the old days, you'd be in a butt set talking back and forth, and then you'd pick up the wrenches and go up and climb. You know, it was just one of those things. You were a jack of all trades, which a lot of people don't appreciate, a jack of all trades now. You wind up doing a lot of different jobs. So anyway, I know I'm getting off point. It's about you and what you guys said and your feedback. So I'm going to just start off with the first one. And this is feedback. I got some of this in emails and I got some of this on the blog. I just want to share it with you. So the first one, comment, I applaud the conversation. This needs more focus and attention. I'm not an expert on unions and maybe not a fan of them because of what I've heard about them. That being said, I feel this is one industry that could and should have one. I've tried personally to open a telecom university, finding that there was funding was not there. I apologize. Funding was not there. Watching the DOL and the FCC try to get some proper training for the industry is interesting. What is the right thing? Not sure, but I'd like to see some changes and I am willing to help. Going back to the union idea, again, I am not an expert. I'd be more than willing to bring my 23 years of telecom experience and contacts to the table to help get a solution, though. If enough people came to the table and got involved, I have no doubt that we could do it. And my response is, thanks for pointing out that the industry needs some help. And that's really why I posed a question. For some reason, a lot of people think the industry's fine. And a lot of those people that think the industry fine are people that are looking outside in. You know, when you work in the industry, you see what goes on. I mean, you see people not getting paid. You hear about all the problems they have firsthand, you know. But the problem is making it public. Nobody wants to make it public. They're all either scared or they just get out of the industry. And, you know, some people just get disgusted. And I remember talking to one guy that, you know, he got out of the tower industry, started doing other work. And he said his best day at this job, or he said his worst day at this job is better than his best day as a tower climber. Cause he just felt like he put up with so much crap. And you feel like, you're bottom of the food chain. You know what I mean? That's how these guys felt. I'm just telling you what I heard from them, okay? Next comment. I am a former West Region Safety Training Manager for Nexus. They have put their climbers in a separate company so that they can better manipulate wages, training, and safety regulation costs without affecting the rest of Nexus assets. This can potentially put climbers in danger and keep them at a lower wage rate with less benefits than other Nexus employees. I'd like to help organize, train, and unionize climbers in the desert Southwest. I am currently starting my own company training tower climbers in the Southwest. So my response is, you know, thanks for pointing out how the climbers are separated from the rest of the company. And, you know, I worked for a company that did that. They did specifically that. And it was for a lot of reasons, mostly because of insurance. Insurance companies, they have a hard time understanding what it is a tower climber does, but they do understand it's high risk, you know. So for climbers being treated like they're at the bottom of the food chain, it's a tough industry because you're not making a lot of money. You know, it's interesting that a lot of these turf vendors want to pay the guys $10 an hour to go up in the air, and yet the insurance is so high. You know, when you're bidding these jobs, everyone drives the price down, but the insurance companies drive the price up, especially, you know, 12 deaths last year. Oh, by the way, I saw in Department of Labor on OSHA's website for tower climbers, they still have it at 11. I don't know if they're ever going to update it or not. Thought they would have updated it by now. It is mid-January. So, but my point is, when you have a tower climbing company, no one looks at the big picture. I shouldn't say no one. A lot of people don't look at the big picture. When you run a crew, you know how expensive it is. Vehicles alone cost a lot of money. All the safety gear alone cost a lot of money. And it isn't like you buy it once and you're done. It wears out. It gets worn. It gets torn. It gets just worn down. You got to replace it. It's not one of those things that you can just hope for the best, you know, because that's what gets people in trouble. Same as rope. Same as tools. It all costs money. Then you have insurance. Insurance is expensive. It costs money to deploy the guys per diem. Cost money, you know. It's not like you're working in your backyard every day out of the year. It'd be great if you did. There'd be a lot more people in it if they didn't have to travel so much. I mean, traveling once in a while is fine, but these guys are usually on the road 5 or 6 days, and that causes a lot of problems at home, distractions, depression, and so on. So, and you'll see from the responses that people don't exactly have a high opinion of tower climbers in general. So, I just wanted to point out that I have worked for companies that separated the climbers out for that reason, for mostly for insurance reasons. And they might do it for paid too. I could see where they can, you know, manipulate pay easier if they're not employees. You don't have to set the standards in place. And I also know they separate the climbers out because that way when they write the employee handbook, they can write a separate handbook for tower climbers. It's rather interesting because let's face it, if something's sitting in the office, they probably don't need to worry about drug tests or security clearance or, you know, they don't have to worry about their driving records. They don't have to worry about, you know, doing background checks every couple months when the employees, which, you know, where I work, they did that all the time. They would check her driving record. They would, you know, we had random drug tests, mostly because we did a lot of government work, it was sort of interesting. You know, they'd go to the lowest bidder and then they'd put all these requirements on, which really that separates the real companies from the scrubs. When you have to do all these background checks and provide proof, it's something that really separates, like I said, the real companies from the guys that, you know, are just sort of not worried about all the details they got to take care of. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'll go on to the next one. So the next comment's a short one. And it's here it is. 13 years in, have made tremendous sacrifice. It has to go in a better direction with more gain for the individuals who truly make it happen. And I think once again, that shows you how hard it is in the field. I think, you know, 13 years in, the guy gave a lot. I did 12 years of climbing. It wore me down. And it isn't like the pay got better. The pay got worse because they drive prices down. They hire these kids. And in all honesty, it drives a price down. It slows work down. And you lose a lot of quality. So then you wind up bringing your more experienced crew in after the fact. Hey, now with that said, a lot of deaths this year were older people. It isn't like they were kids falling off the tower. Previous years, it was a lot of kids due to lack of training. So I don't know what's going on this year. Maybe guys are just not tying off or making mistakes or I don't know. You know, OSHA has a report, but that doesn't really tell you the whole story. Okay, the next comment's a long one, so bear with me. And here it goes. I'm not sure being unionized would be the best thing for this industry. However, I do see some positive points that would help the industry as well. The biggest problem I would see coming out of this would be this would cause climbers to get lazy. It's no secret that these jobs are time sensitive. You show up at the site and start working and you don't stop. A lot of times, not even for lunch. You eat while you work. I have worked or been on a lot of jobs with union workers, and to be honest, I've never seen one bust his butt at the pace the climbers generally work at. It's something that we seasoned climbers pride ourselves on. While we complain at times, deep down, we are proud we can show up day after day and spend 12 plus hours in tower, knock out a site a day earlier than the projected completion. I have noticed union workers do not have this mentality. A lot of times, they spend a lot of time socializing and working on their pace rather than following the mentality of, not all climbers, but most. I see a huge positive in apprenticeship programs and extended training. I have seen too many guys come into this industry with zero experience other than a two-day course, whether in-house or in a school, in a certified climbing and rescue, and then thrown into a crew and expected to work with zero rigging experience and zero carrier technology experience in the sort of boot camp period for green hands. I think this is a good period if placed with a good crew and the foreman. It really helps to set the tone. I think what he's trying to say, with the foreman, it really helps to set the tone of what is expected and what we work at what we and what we work at a fast paced. I think he meant to say fast paced. Hold on a second. Yeah, I think he meant to say a fast paced. So let me read one. Sorry. Got distracted trying to read. I read it before. I guess I should have read that part a little better. So where were we now? Judas. Okay, so he says, you work at a fast pace. You are not in your phone, and we are not here to socialize, but to work and work hard. However, I'd like to see these guys with a lot more experience and training from some an apprenticeship program, maybe lasting 6 months long. This will only improve with confidence in the green hand. I would like to see a better pay scale, even though us more seasoned foremen make good money, but not the greatest. The carriers make a lot of money, and this job is not easy. We are out there battling the elements, fatigue, long hours, physical abuse to the body. I feel a lot of us should be paid more for the risks that we take every day and the impact on our bodies we endure during the long hours. We are talking about being, for most of the part, the backbone of these carriers, which are multi-billion dollar companies, yet green hands make about the same as someone in the checkout line at the grocery store. I believe there is room for a lot of improvement in the pay scales for the work and the risks we do take. So, response, I don't know. I worked with a lot of union guys. I never thought union guys were lazy. You know what I mean? I'm sure you have some out there and that they are. And it just really surprises me. But if you worked with them, that's what you saw. So if you're working with people and someone's sitting around and taking the money, it does really make you angry. You know, a lot of these guys, it depends on the individual, right? So I'm sure union and non-union, you know, we all worked with people that are just in it for the job or the money or just don't care. They're lazy, you know, they're just putting in their time. I've worked with guys like that, but I also worked with a lot of good guys. And I can't really say, you know, a lot of union guys I worked with were hard workers and they were members of the IBEW. I mean, they were there to get the job done. Now this guy is right. A lot of these guys, you know, they stay in the tower 12 hours a day just to get the job done because that's what's required of them. A lot of times it's not even like it's an hourly position. You know, it's a lot of these guys, they try to make them salary, and it all depends what the state laws are at the time as to what they'll have to do or what they'll be, but, how they get paid. But one thing you do learn, like if it's your company, you get paid by the job normally, not by the hour. So you got to decide how to pay your people. And a lot of these subs, that's how they get paid, by the job. That's why they try to get done faster and quicker. So now don't get me wrong. You have people out there that don't work hard. But what I've seen, most of those guys don't last with the tower crew. They come and they go. It's not whether they're union or non-union. For those of you that don't know, if someone's not working out in their union, they go back to the union hall. They either become someone else's problem or they go to the bottom of the list and then you pull the next guy. I think there's a misconception that just because you're union, you have a job. And that's just not true. One thing you learn about the union is if you don't like the people you have for any reason, you can pull new guys from the union hall. Now, if you do this all the time, union hall is going to get a little upset. But that's where the pro is. For the people that run these companies, they can pretty much pull the people they want. However, with that said, they get scared to send the good people back to the union hall because if they have a good guy, they don't want to let him go. They don't want him to go to the bottom of the list. Again, it depends on the work and the job and so on and so on. But in a union hall, certifications matter. So if you're like in the IBEW, if you need someone with a climbing certification, all those guys above you that don't have climbing certifications are eliminated because now you need someone with a climbing certification. If you need someone with a communications wiring certification, then you're going to look for that. So you're picking basically on the certifications of the worker. It's just something to think about. So, all right. That was a good, hey, thanks for that comment. I do appreciate that was a good comment. Okay, the next comment I got from email, and it says, a bigger question, why unionize anybody? The answer rests with your political taste, government, or private sector. In my opinion, labor unions are parasites, sucking much nutrition, i.e. dollars, and returning little more than placebos, feel-good benefits, feel-good commentary, and feel-good job security. There are reasons that labor unions in general are nosediving into non-existence, and that is the expose that they are more form over little substance. The intrinsic and bureaucratic relationship with government makes even the perceptual form lethargic and corrupt. Among the pros, most important, certification implies qualification, which everybody wants but seldom gets unless industry-driven. Industry is driven by results, i.e. dollars, something which government and labor unions extract very well but don't return, generate, nor inspire. And so, your labor union certification programs would become pencil-whipping cheat sheets, worthless documents. The old guy seniority is always top paid and ranked, and usually the biggest time clock productivity cheater, the essence of the labor unions. In the roughly 3.5 decades of cellular wireless tower climbers, the industry has been composed of every gender of beer-drinking, blue-collar worker, from farm boys to apprentice electricians to auto mechanics. Very few of them have understood the basics of RF, 50 ohms, impedance match, resonance, antenna gain, or skin effect. Even the SiteMaster sweep generators being more readily available, they still don't appreciate what the readings meant. Antennas and coax installed, a few days of freezing rain, and all of a sudden high visor alarms are awakening the on-call tech and shutting down the RBS sites. This was the norm more than the exception for at least 2 decades of the industry, until the demand of some rudimentary education and certification became trickling in. Maintenance overruns made operations managers pull their hair out. Unionize? No. Industry standardization. Industry-driven, standardized training and certification? Yes. So, my response is, this was actually a common response. This comment was pretty common, actually. Many people really dislike unions. However, he mentions that tower climbers are beer-drinking buddies, and so he doesn't have a lot of respect for a lot of tower climbers, and maybe that's what he's run into, you know, and they're out there, you know. A lot of these guys just are in it for the job. They're laborers. They don't understand RF. They really have no desire to. But with that said, I worked with a lot of brilliant tower climbers that do understand RF. They understand the mechanics of the tower, and they really seem to know what's going on. And again, you have your laborers, you have your guys, it's a day job, it's a means to pay the bills. And I find out a lot of tower crews get what they tolerate. If you want to labor, chances are that's what you'll get. You'll get some guy that's all he's going to do. It's just one of those things, you know. You got to weed out the bad eggs. And maybe that's what this guy worked with, you know, who knows. But he brings up some good points, you know. I mean, one thing I think, though, by reading this, you're really expecting the tower climber to do a lot if you're sending those guys out to do the sweeps. I get what he's saying, but maybe you should send your engineers out to do the sweeps, because I used to do both, but I was an engineer and I got certified in it, and I do agree with him. We do need industry-driven standardized training and certification. I do agree with that. That's part of the goal here. That's part of the thing that we want to get. The apprenticeship, that's the goal. That's the means to the end. And that's what we want to set up here. And it's coming, you know. We know that PCIA is going to set standards. We know that Nate's coming out and helping to set standards. And I think pretty soon we'll have a national database of who's trained on what. But that also goes for engineers. You know, you got to provide your certification for, you know, what you know. How to read the sweeps. It's a good point. So as crazy, you know, I mean, you can tell he worked with a lot of guys he didn't like, apparently. But he brings up some great points. So I have another comment from email. So this says, great post. I'm a 15-year member of IBEW Local 1. Local 1, wow. 2 years ago, we sent 20 men, all journeymen, through CITCA Competent Climber, Authorized Climber, and Tower Rescue class. We had an opportunity to work for Wigdahl Electric. All went well for a time. We all loved working on cell towers. We also had civil crews for base work. The company lost a big chunk of work through Ericsson Sprint, so we diversified into AT&T and T-Mobile. At some point earlier this year, the management in St. Louis from Wigdahl was not able to secure more work. And for us, was not able to secure more work for us and shut the doors on the St. Louis branch. So we at Local One are still trying to get back into the business through a contractor and have discussed all the pros and cons you've listed. So, hey, thanks for letting us know. Good luck on the future. I think it shows you there you had some good climbers, but what do you do when you can't compete? It's a shame that, you know, Ericsson came in. And you know, a lot of the when the carriers were having the OEMs, say Ericsson, Alcatel-Lucent, Nokia, Samsung, when the carriers were having them do the work. You know, they drove down the prices too. It's something to think about. When you have more competition, that's why they liked the competition, because it did drive the prices down. But boy, it just made it to where it was hard to turn a profit in that business. Plus, a lot of the carriers really, and the turf vendors, they don't pay till they absolutely have to. It's very hard to maintain a business model when you're net 90 and your 90 doesn't start till the final inspection. It should really start when the work's done, and that would force the inspection to happen sooner. But I don't know. It's a tough business model. There's a lot of work, but it's hard work. So, yeah, good luck in St. Louis. I hope you get more work down there, guy. The next comment, approached some officials at NATE about doing just that, providing skilled workers on a permanent basis or temporary, already trained and certified. The response was indescribable. They were only interested in their bottom line, not safety or training skills. Left that meeting with my head in my hands. So you understand me. I have been in this business for over 35 years as a union iron worker. And I appreciate the comment. And that's tough. I think NATE, you know, I don't know if they're avoiding the question. I don't know if they don't want to get involved or pick a side. You got to remember, they're funded by business owners. Now, don't get me wrong. NATE does a lot of good. I'm a big fan of NATE, okay? But I understand where their paycheck's coming from. That's like PCIA. They're going to set standards. PCIA's biggest paycheck is really the carriers. When PCIA goes to Washington to lobby, they're going to lobby for the carriers. You know, let's not look at it through rose-colored lenses here. They have an end in mind, which is for the best for their members, you know, both these groups, any group does. I mean, I'm not getting paid anything. I'm just spouting off my opinion here. I mean, I make whatever I make off my selling of the product, but the reality is, I just give you my opinion. I'm not making any money off this. A lot of people don't like that, but you know what? A lot of people listen. I think these questions need to be asked. I think we've been avoiding them for a long time. And I understand why it's not brought up. However, with that said, I think it'd be better if it was brought up and brought into the light. You know, I look at it years ago when the iron workers were building the buildings, say, in New York. You know, the reason they formed a union is because, and bridges too, the reason they formed unions is because people were dying. They knew that they needed some protection. They needed to get paid. And you know what? If you didn't risk, this is a different time, because now we have the Department of Labor who looks out for the workers. But back then, if you didn't risk your life on the job, you got fired. And people needed to work. So we're very fortunate now to have OSHA out there at least inspecting the job sites and the Department of Labor setting standards for us. Listen, I know I critique OSHA from time to time, the Department of Labor, and the FCC too, but they are looking out for us. I know we'd like them to do more. They got a full plate. You know, they got to worry about a lot of crap. So I just want you to understand that safety is important. Training is important. So this is something that we really have to really understand. That they are looking out for us, but they don't have the time to do all that they can. I don't know if that makes sense. Anyways, the next comment is, I'm a tower climber and a union member. The IBEW has no clue what I do for a living, but damn sure can tell you about electricians. What a joke. Even insurance companies cannot understand what we do for a living. So I think what he's trying to say there is probably tower climbers should have their own union, you know, a tower climbers union, someone that understands the business inside and out. And I've run that in the past where the insurance people have no idea what you do. And I will tell you what we did for that. The company I worked for, that's when we joined NATE years ago. And NATE actually set us on the right direction. You know, as far as running a tower business, they can help. I mean, they're there to help. They really are. So I just want to point that out because it's important you understand that NATE has services. If you're starting your tower business or if you're going in there, And I'm not saying we went with our insurance company for a while. They were very expensive, but you know, it's an education curve. We actually found better rates, different insurance companies. We learn, and that's the key. Sometimes you got to pay to learn. Really sucks, but that's the way it is. You know, when you're in the tower business, one thing you learn by experience, and you pay by being away from home, you pay by hard work, and you pay by doing the job. That's just the way it is. So, all right, I rambled on long enough. Everyone be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing, come up with a plan, follow the plan, but you remember you have to adapt, improvise to overcome. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Stay alive.